You are listening to Punk News Podcast, episode 476, the end of year wrap-up episode. We're blasting out the old year. We're kicking in the new. We're looking for some good times, fun times, good wishes for all. It's the end of year wrap-up. We're already off to a disastrous start. What better way to start the Punk News Podcast for the new year 2020 than have two false starts and disasters and whatnot? That's Punk News in a nutshell. Welcome to the Punk News Podcast, end of year wrap-up. And welcome back. I messed up again. Adam told me seconds ago, John, don't leave space for a music break because we're not going to have a music break. And I just left space for a music break. Anyways, Adam, it's a disaster already. The year 2020, we're not starting off good. We're here with a contributing editor, Adam White. Adam White, how's this one going to pan out? I don't know. I do not know.
This is just like a bad start for the whole fucking decade. This is so well, the parts that no one heard, because we're going to cut those parts out, is someone, probably Tom, is sitting on
Not me. I gotta say, I do have a lot of chaos behind me, but it literally sounds like someone's jumping on the bed.
Well, Tom usually records sitting in a I don't want to call it a lazy boy so much as a leather orb,
like a love seat. It's a full couch.
So it's a full couch, but it's got a lot of squeak, got a lot of leather.
I'm also wearing leather short shorts.
Leather short shorts
and leather couch. You know.
What we were hearing there was Tom's thighs. That was actually not the.
I'm so sweaty. You know. Thighs are sticking together. They don't even know what you're talking about, Adam.
There was noises. It sounded like there was like a manatee and a whale fighting. It was really weird. But anyways, we're here. We're doing a year-end wrap-up.
I gladly take responsibility for the vast majority of the background noise, because I know it is mine. But for once, I must plead innocence.
Well, anyways, speaking of innocence, we are here with the two most innocent members of the Punk News Podcast. We're here with Hallie Bullet and Sam Barrett. Hallie Bullet, what's happening? How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm doing awesome. I had a great New Year's. I'm feeling strong about 2020, feeling real strong going into it.
You're feeling positive. You think it's going to be a great year. That's what you're saying.
We'll see. Although as soon as I said that, I was like, I'm jinxing it. Like, that's why is that my attitude? Like, that I shouldn't be that positive about it because I'm going to ruin it. But yeah, but I've already said it. So it's out there. I'm feeling good about it.
Well, listen, people, I'm going to drop a teaser that we're not even going to talk about this episode to force you to listen to future episodes of Punk News Podcast. Hallie Bullet, and Hallie, I believe you did not tell me this in confidence regarding a certain role you played regarding sci-fi. That's not secret, right?
No, that's not secret. Hallie Bullet. I'm so excited that you're so excited about it.
I'm extremely excited about this, but we're not going to talk about it today because I want you, the listener, to listen in the future. Hallie Bullet played Dr. Beverly Crusher of Star Trek The Next Generation in a musical. We're not going to talk it for the rest of the podcast. You're going to have to listen to the future to hear Hallie Bullet's wild adventure in space as a singing Dr. Crusher. I mean, that's probably the best thing I heard in 2019. But speaking of great things I heard in 2019, another great thing I heard in 2019, Sam Barrett back on the podcast. Sam Barrett, how are you?
I'm here, and my internet keeps on cutting out, I think. So I'm here.
Sam Barrett, 2020, is it going to be a great year? Are we going to get cool records? Are you thinking positive? Thumbs up. What do you think about 20?
I have a lot of PMA for 2020. Hopefully it's not one hot, trashy dumpster fire, so we'll see.
Well, one hot, trashy dumpster fire is about the best. Not a hot, trashy dumpster fire is about the best we can wish for. This is the end of your wrap-up episode, so we're not going to talk about news this week. We're basically going to talk about the year in punk news and what's coming up the next year. And actually, we're going to read some mail, because we haven't done mail in a while, and we always appreciate getting your mail. You can reach that podcast at punknews.org. This is from Dallin, who's written in a few times before. Here's what Dallin has to say. I'm going to keep this real brief. You had an advice episode a while back about going to college. What would you say to doing an episode on the topic of having kids? My wife and I have a 1 week old, and I'm wondering if my destiny is to become the real friggin' boring dad like all the other parents. Do I have to turn in my rock and roll badge? Help me navigate these treacherous waters, dear homies. And that's from Dallin.
I mean, you might have to turn in temporarily, but if you're focused, you'll be all right. You'll pull out of it.
Well, I think maybe we should do a parenting advice. Well, I can't give any advice because I'm not a parent. But we've got a lot of parents on the podcast these days, so maybe we should do an advice podcast in the future. I like that idea. This is from Rich from the UK. Here's what Rich from the UK has to say. Hi, guys. I'm still enjoying the podcast. I thought I'd write to give a little perspective on Rebellion Fest from an English point of view, as it was discussed on episode 472. I've been several times, and I actually know the guy who set it up and runs it. That's Daz Russell. He was the other half of the record I produced with Decadence with him. He's been organizing gigs since the mid-80s, originally in Birmingham, mainly at the Mermaid Pub. He has loads of bands. He has had loads of bands play, including Circle Jerks, Government Issue, DRI, SNFU, Gangrene, Amoebics, Napalm Death, Chumbawamba, and they were all pretty much unheard of at the time. One day after I lost touch with him, he just decided to rent the Winter Gardens in Blackpool and try a festival. No mean feat, it cost thousands of pounds, and he had no backing and no bands. So that is so like Daz. He somehow got it going, and it grew from there, and it is now a massive festival of people attending from all over the world. The vibe Friday to Sunday is pretty much all old school with a complete cross selection of old anarchist bands such as Subhumans to pop up with favorites like the Undertones as well as some old skinhead bands. I've been amazed by some of the people he has attracted. They certainly wouldn't have played the Mermaid. It was getting together. It is mainly a getting together of the punk community from the 70s and 80s and having a fun drinking, partying, and reliving the past. Thursday is the day that most American bands play, as it's the same weekend as Brack Rock in Belgium, and just before Punk Rock Holiday in Slovenia, so it works that they could play all three. The festival has a slightly different vibe that day. Bad Religion have played Rebellion Fest before, if I remember correctly. They headlined Thursday night, and I think that was an amazing year with an amazing lineup. I personally prefer to go see the newer and more current bands as watching aging punksters trying to relive a moment that has passed. I find that a bit sad. I don't mind old guys banging out something new. The Descendants do it well, and Hawkwind have a huge back catalog, so it can work. Anyway, keep the faith, and please, can we not mention Danzig for at least one episode? I think we are over our Misfits quota, and that's from Rich from the UK.
Yeah, but he had to go ahead and bring up Hawkwind, and now he doesn't want to hear about Danzig? I resent you, sir.
This is from Nick. This is a really nice email from Nick. Here's what Nick has. I don't think Nick's written before, so Nick, thanks for writing. Happy holidays. I love the Christmas special. It was hand down as the best podcast of the season. This American Life came in second. Keep up the zany, wacky, and fun times. A highlight of my work week is hearing about John's weird love life, his music recommendations, random music selections, and the nuts and bolts of putting together shows. Adam's forays into going full on boat, sounding identical to Dan Pfeiffer of Positive America, and the joy of collecting limited run Canadian cassettes. Tom's gravely get off my lawn and into the pit cadence, his stories of old punk shows and being in a band. I love that too. Whether you change the name of the podcast or not, or the format, I'm on board for this. My one request would be to make Hallie a regular if she would be down. Her presence adds a great dynamic to your show. Well, I was nice, so I fully expect you all to shit on me. That's what friends are for. And that's from Nick. Nick. Sweet Dick Nick.
He compliments us all and then he expects us to be mean to him? I mean, come on, Nick. I mean, we're not that great, but we're not that big of dicks either, right?
And one more. This is from Jen. This is what Jen has to say. Sam was on the Christmas episode. I know it was her by the laughs. Sam covers more pop punk and emo than the regular goons, who I also love. Please have Sam on more often. She lights up the podcast and covers things that the rest of you don't cover. Plus, she is my favorite, and we share the most common musical tastes. She's never negative, and we need more positivity. More Sam, and that's from Jen.
Well, you heard them, fellas. They want the girls. The rest of us, eh.
Is this real?
These are real.
Is this real?
You can reach the podcast at punknews.org. I think we're going to break for some songs. I think Adam and Sam, I think, are going to play some tunage first. Oh, no. Actually, never mind. We're not going to break yet. We're going to talk. Everybody, how was your year? Sam, how was your year? What cool shows did you see? What fun did you have? Did anything bum you out?
The year was good. Personally, I've gone to a lot of cool things, I think. I went to Richmond to go see a Veil, which was any 4-year-old guys actually move around in a pit in my life. went to go see a punk show in Japan, which happens to be in Japan for a holiday. And pretty much all of the bands besides the one band that I went to go see sang in Japanese. So I had no idea what was happening, and it was kind of surreal, but I think 20, but Dad, there was a lot of weird personal dumpster fires that I had to put out. But other than that, I think it was fine.
Tom, how about your year? You know, this year was the year you said you want to pull back at Punk News, you know, kind of do fewer reviews. How was your year, Thomas?
Well, I didn't pull back this year. I'm transitioning into my pullback. I think I still did 70 plus reviews this year. I had a good year. I had challenges just like everybody else. I didn't take very good care of myself health wise. I need to kind of work on that. When the guy wrote in about having young kids and how kind of he's afraid he's going to have to turn in his punk rock card or whatever. Let me tell you something. Young kids are a blast. They're a joy. They're frustrating, but they're frustrating in a sort of dealable way. It only gets more difficult as they go. I have two young adult children now, and it's in a high schooler and a junior higher, and it's definitely has its days where you feel like it was a bad day, but overall it was a good year. And I know I like to be kind of a negative, kind of a ball breaker, kind of a jerk sometimes on the show, but the fact of the matter is I'm ultimately an optimistic person because it doesn't seem to pay not to be. You might as well expect the best, right? So 2019 was good, and I have high hopes for 2020.
Tom, with the deep wisdom there, you might as well be positive because there's no other option. Hallie,
well, what's the point? What's the point of being negative all the time? If you're negative all the time, things will be negative for you.
Fair enough. Hallie Bullet, you had a action-packed filled year.
I did, yeah. I mean, I don't know, action-packed. I mean, I had a kid. I finally had a kid. Like,
congratulations.
Thank you so much. I mean, I just, you know, I put it off because I liked my freedom. I liked going to shows. I liked doing shows. I liked touring. I waited a long time, but I finally did it. And I don't think that that's the way for everyone. Certainly there's like lots of advantages to just like having kids and while you're young and you have energy. But I don't know. I'm realizing that like as a parent, I don't feel like I have a lot of FOMO because I spent a lot of years doing a lot of really cool shit. And so this year I just was home with my kid a lot and that felt great. It felt really great. Although I'll say like, you know, now I sort of feel like, you know, for next year, I'd like to be out more. I'd like to get back, find like a meeting of my previous life and my current life. I'd like to be able to blend those a little better. But yeah, I got to take my kid to Blondie and Elvis Costello. Got to take him away to his first show. He was amazing. He did great. He slept through a lot of it. And then the rest of it, he was just like completely dazzled by like the light show. So he was like happy as a clam. And just trying to figure out, how to do more of that in the new year and how to get out, you know, by myself as a grown up.
You'll spend the next 20 years trying to find the balance.
Yeah. Yeah.
That will literally be your next two decades trying to find the balance between, you know, being you and, you know, being a good parent. So it's all right. It's a work in progress.
Thanks.
Well, Hallie Bullet, I think handing motherhood with grace and style, if you will. Adam White, you've got two kids now. They're about 4, 5, 6. This was the year where you jumped into the physical market and became a record label magnate. Adam White, your year. How was your year?
So, like, I was literally, before we started recording the show, sawing a cardboard box in half with a saw in my garage so that I could tape it together and make two smaller cardboard boxes so that I could ship something because buying shipping materials is expensive and I don't know why I'm doing this. All right. I guess so. Like, I'll sell something first and then I'll be sincere about it. So, yeah. So I released a compilation tape thing. It's out in the world. You can find details on it at my newsletter website, which is someparty.ca. It's got 5 bands on it. It's got rare songs. It's cool. The B-side is full of mysteriousness. It has a few John Gentile inspired skits and goofiness going on it. It's a thing that I've wanted to go stick out into the world for a long, long time. And it has, and I won't get too far into this because it's like super myopic, but John, in a way it has, it has freed me. It's freed me, John.
Freed, you say?
Well, it's because I've been around, I looked this up because, so we just did our end of year lists. I was not going to do one because I was too busy with, you know, parenting shit, all that stuff we've been talking about, right? It was too busy just like trying to live my life and be like a real adult. And then I decided at like the last minute, which is to say on like December 29th or something like that, that, you know, I should actually do one of these. And what really prompted me to do it was after editing everyone else's lists, I went and I looked and I realized that I'd written one of these every year since 2001. And that's a long time. It's that's just a long time to be associated with something and to be doing something. So between basically putting out my 18th Punk News year-end list and getting this tape out into the world, like getting the physical thing out there, I feel very freed from the, like, from the sunk cost fallacy of Punk News. Like, there was so much time where I've been like, you know, I've been doing stuff on this site for so long, but like at what point do I, like, at what point have I said that, like, you know, I've gotten out of Punk News what I've given into it, right? And I kind of feel that way right now. And it's very healthy. It's very nice. Like, I feel very free. I'm not going to walk out the door and quit or anything like that. But I feel that, like, if I did, I wouldn't feel guilty about it. Not that I'm going to. But in any case, I want to touch on something that Hallie just said, because it just rung through for me about, like, what the coolest thing that happened to me this year was. And my 6-year-old daughter, she was 6 at the time. I guess she was 6 at the time. I took her up to Toronto with me. We went to a scuzzy rock and roll bar and ate a giant plate of nachos and she had a milkshake that was like the size of her head. And then we went down the street to like the coolest comic book store in Toronto, and she bought some comic books. And then we went down into the basement of the coolest comic book store in Toronto. And we saw a bunch of punk bands play like in the stock room of the comic store. And it was like my kid's first punk show. Like, she's seen bands before, but outside. And like, she's been to festivals and like seen outdoor performances, but this was like the first, you know, I'm going to go to kind of like a skeezy unofficial health show or like punk show at a place that doesn't have a proper fire code for what's happening kind of show. And yeah, it was that was amazing. Just like taking her and like exposing her to that and being able to kind of like bring her into that world. And I got to look like the coolest person in the universe, because when there's like a bunch of jaded punks standing around watching bands playing, and then someone walks in with a 6-year-old, it was just like, I scored major dad points amongst all the lifers. Let me tell you,
75% of them thought you were the coolest dad ever, and the other 25% thought you were a monster, but
that's yes. Okay. That's what I'm shooting for. That's my ratio.
Exactly. 75% is good.
So, I just want to pause for 2 seconds so I can open this beer without being rude to everyone. All right, now we continue.
Oh, love that.
Well, Adam's cracking the beers open, while Adam's kicking back, let's play some tunes. Sam Barrett, how about you play 3 tunes, and then Adam, if you're done, if you're done chugging your Pabst Blue Ribbon, then you can play 3 songs after that. Sammy B, what tunes are you playing?
So I actually have 2. So I mentioned that I was in Japan, and I mentioned that I went to some weird, like, Japanese venue to go see some punk bands. So the reason why I went was to go see this bad band called Waterweed. They put out something called Diffuse this year, and it's actually number 1 on my end of the year list. You know, shameless plug. So I wanted to play that. So this is for you, for me, and for us. Should I just like go into the next one?
Yeah, announce all 3 in a row. Yeah.
Oh, well, 2, because anyways. Okay, so the next band that I want to play a song from is actually from New York. They're called Neck Scars. They are a band that formed out of another band that's within this punk sphere, their former band is called Game Day Regulars. They released a split this year called, like, a split with Goddamn It, a band from Philly. So I'm going to play Let You Down.
This is not going well.
You should cut in Sam's songs, then I'll then throw mine in. Then you can cut out all the awkwardness.
Adam, say your spiel, and then what are we playing, Adam?
John, how do you podcast again?
Awkwardness equals charm.
Who's recording? Okay, hey, yeah. So here are three songs. So I'm just trying to like accentuate the amount of failure that we have going on right now. The first thing I want to play here is really the most inappropriate thing to be playing on the punk rock podcast, because it is a piece of mushy indie rock, but it is in a way the anthem for 2020 for me. It is the song that I'm going to try to live my whole life according to, because it is the only thing that will allow us to survive this year. So the song is from Shotgun Jimmy. It is called The New Sincerity. It is about the new sincerity and why you should make that your creed. It features a little bit of a guest vocal in the middle of it from Chad Van Galen, and it is super fun. So the new sincerity is the anthem. It's your religion for this year coming forward. After that, I'm going to play a song called Tax 101 by a Toronto, got a neo proto punk band called Protruders. Protruders are members of a band that probably not a lot of people would have heard of, but were pretty buzzy for a while, called Kappa Chow, and a few members of Tough Age play with them. So Protruders, it's cool. It's sort of a modern reinterpretation of that old Detroit rust belty proto-punk sound, but there's a really skronky saxophone that happens during it, which is great. And then following that, a super punky song from a super punky band with a super punky name called Bedwetters Anonymous. They're from Vancouver. The song is called Psychedelic Landlord. Every song on this record, the vocalist sounds like a different flavor of insane, and it's just great. So you're going to hear Shotgun Jimmy, and then Protruders, and then Bedwetters Anonymous. There you go.
really be cool all the time.
Things are really heating up these days. The planet Earth is feeling hotter and hotter. The oceans are heating up. People's minds are boiling hot. So you might feel like losing your patience and only being cool part of the time, or maybe 3/4 of the time. Well, that's just not good enough, Jim. I need you to be on this full tide, okay? I need you to be cool all the time.
I get so tired of making mistakes. Here I go, my foot is in my mouth again. I have become my own worst enemy. If I were cool, maybe I could be my best friend. And then I'd be cool all the time. Never ever not be cool. I wanna be cool all the time. And never
yeah.
back. And one thing that I like to do on the end of your podcast is look back on ourselves and as objectively as we can say, what did we do well in 2019 and what did we do poorly in 2019? And how can we improve? And what are we doing just peachy? Tom, I feel as though you're one of the more perhaps less precious towards punk news. See, me, anytime anybody said anything bad about punk news that's not directly in the core and band of punk news, like I move to destroy them. It's like
you take it a little too personally.
Tom, I feel you take a more fatherly measured approach. 2019 punk news, what do we do great, what can we improve on?
Well, you know, the thing I always say, John, is most of the people who are loudest and most critical are also the most loyal at the end of the day. You know, they're the ones who have been around a long time, people who have an emotional stake in what happens at the site. So I definitely do cut them a little slack. Now, if it's some stranger that I've never seen before comes around, starts ripping on our little weird family, then I will go to their house and punch them in the balls. But I don't get automatically freaked out about everything that happens. No, I do take a measured approach to things. I think, are you talking about the podcast specifically or the website in general?
But whatever you feel more you want to talk about more, whichever.
Well, I think the site has been a pretty steady ship for the last couple of years at least. And listen, some weeks are better than others, but I think we do a pretty good job of covering the nuts and bolts of what's going on in the bigger punk rock world. And then there's the Johnny G kind of wacky, barely punk adjacent stories that keep things interesting and piss people off. So I think overall we've done a good job of finding that balance. You know, we all kind of have our sacred cows and we kind of balance those with the big stories, and I think it works.
As far as
the podcast, okay. I think, once again, I mean, you know, this was an interesting year for the podcast. I was, for last couple of years, the regular cast, for the most part, was you and Adam and Ricky. And, of course, Ricky resigned, or I don't know, what, maybe that's too grandiose a word, but Ricky decided to
Harry Carey.
Well, he moved on in January. So I went from my once a month being on the podcast, a role that I was very comfortable in. I kind of felt like doing it once a month for me was kind of like being the weekend dad. It's like I don't really have to do anything except for take the kids to McDonald's on Saturday, and I'm a good dude, you know. And now all of a sudden I'm, you know, on there every week, and it's definitely a little different. And I've enjoyed it for the most part. And I think the three of us, you, Adam, and I, have a good chemistry, even though all the letter writers seem to want to jettison us for a woman or two. I guess I can't really blame him for that, but I think we've been a pretty steady ship, you know, an eclectic blend of Danzig talk and Hawkwind talk and obscure Canadian cassette talk. You know, I think we have our balance.
Hallie Bullet, Tom Trauma with a very, I will say, PR response, you know, saying a lot, but
that's me, dude, Mr. PR.
Hallie Bullet, cut into us. What do we do well this year? What do we do poorly on the podcast? All of us. What do we do well? What do we do poorly? And maybe the site. What's your perspective on that as well?
All right. Well, I think both the site and the podcast, especially. I think because, like Tom was saying, like I'm now in a position where I'm not on it all the time. And so I feel like I do, like, you know, I enjoy it, I'm on it, but I also feel like I have a perspective. And what I enjoy about it is I feel like it's super just genuine in a time when like most things on the internet don't really feel very genuine to me. Like, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, like, influencers on like social who are like trying to package or present themselves in a way that doesn't really feel like it could possibly actually be them. And then you have, you know, like YouTubers who are just sort of intentionally being inflammatory or, you know, sort of expressing opinions that seem like just designed to like make people angry and get a response. And I like find it very refreshing that I feel like punk news is like people just like actually saying like genuinely what they feel about music, and that knowing that that may go over well with the readers and the listeners, or it may not, but like, it's sort of like, oh, well, you know, I think that's what I appreciate.
Kelly, are what you're saying is that we are a combination of amateur and unprepared? Is that really what you're saying?
That's
how I'm interpreting it. And I'm a glass half full guy.
That's very humble, though. Not what I'm saying at all.
Well, fair enough. All right, Sammy B, I know you will give us the raw deal, the raw beans. What can we improve on, and what do we do well?
I think we tried our best at making sure that news is done every day. The podcast is always damn delightful because of the three of you. I'm sorry I'm not on it more. Again, this year was a hot track. Dumpster fire, but I think that we're doing a good job at, like, you know, making sure that bands that we have covered in the past are covered still. I think we are doing a very good job at finding new bands, like, you know, newer bands, and bringing them to light, you know, giving them a, you know, a platform to stand on a little bit, you know, a little coverage. I think we can find more bands, like, you know, that may need our help, and give them something. I do take a lot of joy in doing that. That might be the only joy that I get from this place, maybe. I don't know. We did celebrate an anniversary last year, I think, right?
We did.
Yeah, and I think you have been doing a great job at these parties in Philly.
Well, thank you.
They seem very, very fun. One day I'll get my ass to Philly, maybe. I don't know. But
if you
yeah,
do,
no,
maybe
I,
then I'll feel more peer pressure to do it, because I've been meaning to get over there too, but that has not happened yet. So.
Yeah. Well, Well, it's a heavier lift for you to get down there than for me, but...
But I'm a Midwesterner, though. We're used to driving 12 hours to get everywhere. So, anyway, I'm sorry.
Maybe we'll have a punk news, like, meetup. I don't know. Maybe Adam will show up. I don't know.
Adam has made the trip over.
No, I know. But I do think that we can improve things. I do think that, you know, I do think that we probably need more news editors, maybe, because, you know, more an extra person to help out will give a different flair to our everyday news. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
I think our biggest room, you know, Maximum Rock and Roll isn't really around. I mean, digitally they're around, but the print magazine's not around. I think we could do a great job of covering Epitaph, Epifat stuff, you know. And also I think we do a good job of covering First Wave stuff. If there's Clash news, if there's UK Subs news, if there's Cox Bar news, we generally hit it. If there's Ramones news, we hit it. I think we do a good job with regards to that. I think a couple of years ago, my big thing is we need more hardcore. With Mike Musilian, he's actually kind of covering some ground level hardcore, which is good. I think we can improve that. But I think our biggest area for improvement is I really want to start covering more like Maximum Rock and Roll type bands. And I don't mean like bland DB bands. I mean kind of ground level house show punk, which we kind of don't cover, you know what I mean? Kind of like Bullet Belt kind of stuff, or like crazy synth punk, just aggressive, weird, chaotic punk. And also, you know, at least in Philadelphia right now, there's a huge scene of really, I'm talking 18 to 22 18 to 23, like art school student type kids. I don't know if they actually go to art school, but like weird art punk, not hardcore, like weird art punk, kind of like James Chance and the Contortions and that kind of weirdo stuff. Bands like Drill, bands like Positronics, like all these like underground weirdo bands of people that I guess in the 80s and 90s you wouldn't say that people with those backgrounds would be associated with punk, but now that they're like the majority. So I really think we could be doing a better job of covering that kind of stuff, and I hope we increase upon that. One interesting decision that I made this year, well I think news-wise, I think we're doing good. We're hitting a lot of news. I think our reviews is pretty good. I think we could cover more underground stuff, like I was saying. I think we could increase in interviews, which is totally my fault because I've been falling back on that. But I mean, if you look at all the other, most of the other punk websites that are daily have kind of fallen to the way. I'm not going to name names because that's kind of cheap. But like almost all the other punk daily news sites don't exist anymore. And we're still here. I'm very proud of that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. So I think we're doing a great, I mean, just being us. I think we're doing a great job of being us and doing what we do. And also, I think we're doing a really good job of not caving as to what certain people think punk should be. And you know, a big part of that is people will be like, you know, why are you covering Tegan and Sarah? Well, Tegan and Sarah are pretty punk. Or why are you covering Hawkwind? Well, Hawkwind is before punk, so we should cover that. You know, so I think we're doing a good job of really not giving an F about what some people think punk should be, which is good. One thing that I did personally this year, and I'm still mulling it over, is exactly 4.5 years ago, when premieres were big, I made the decision. And 4.5 years ago, like publishers would pitch premieres to websites, and it would be almost like a negotiation. Like, we only want the best premieres, or we'll do this, but then we also want that premiere. I made the decision to say, you know what? We'll just take any premiere at all, and we have no gate. If you want a premiere here, I don't care what it is, we'll premiere. We actually premiered like pop music and dance music and hip hop, whatever it was. I said I would premiere it. And that really worked for the first couple of years. But then the past couple of years, it really backfired on me, because what happened was is publicists realized that we'll take anything. So they would give the good stuff to other sites and give us the leftover stuff that's not as interesting, just because they know we'll take it, so that they'll get all their bases covered. And from a pure business standpoint, that's not a bad idea from their perspective. But I started to really get burned out on it, because for a hot minute, I was doing like 2 premieres a day for bands that just were not that interesting, bands I didn't care about, and we weren't getting any of the good stuff. We were only getting the junk. So at the beginning of this year, I basically stopped taking premiere. And also, we were getting last-minute premieres. Like, people say, oh, we just got this premiere, can you run it tomorrow at noon? It's like, and I'm like, really? Like, you just got a music video right now, and you need to run it 12 hours? Like, really? Or did you pitch it everywhere else? And I didn't, you know. And so I felt taken advantage of. And so what I did is I just basically – well, I sent out a soft warning. I said to a bunch of publicists, I said, listen, we don't have the time to do these last-minute premieres, so give us an adequate amount of time. And they kind of ignored that, and they still they said, oh, I know you want adequate time, but we just had this last-minute thing. So I kind of just stopped doing premieres as a whole, because I wasn't getting premiere pitches from bands. I was getting premiere pitches from publicists. And so I just stopped doing it. And what's interesting is my, you know, publicists, you're their best friend as long as you're giving them exactly what they want. But when you're not, then they're not your friend anymore. And so I lost contact with a lot of publicists, which I don't really care about. Actually, I don't really care about that. But it's an interesting dynamic. You know what I mean? And so I don't know if that was smart for the longevity and health of punk news in general. I feel like it was. Because a lot of websites are basically just unpaid PR now, and Punk News is not. And honestly, my core mission at Punk News is to make sure that we don't become unpaid PR, which a lot of other music websites are definitely becoming or have become. And even though we have fans at Punk News, I want to keep us as independent as we can. And if a mild loss of readership or loss of PR contacts is the price of that, I think it's worth that in the long run. But the point being is I got a lot of publicists that used to love me that they don't like me anymore. And so that's what I dealt with this year. And so we'll see how that evolves in the next couple of years. You know, I don't know. Adam, what's your stance on what we did well and what we did poorly in 2019?
I think that a lot of what we've done poorly, I don't want to lump on any of the content contributors. Like, The things that drive me more crazy than anything else right now are really a lot of platform stuff and a lot of platform stuff that are both sort of like the fault of, say, the ecosystem that we have to be in, that we have to constantly contend with the dumb whims of Google and of Facebook and how this stuff gets kind of disseminated out into the world. But also in the way that we've in the past bought into some of their dumb expectations, because that's really come back to screw us in ways these days that we can't do too much about. So I didn't want to shit too much on the site owner or anything like that here, but I guess I have to a little bit to make this point clear. But we're still in a situation where if we post anything that is, say, like of a reasonable complexity, so not just like a straight text story, but But say an interview or something with a lot of media embedded in it, something that's supposed to be like a richer experience for the reader. Well, if they hit it from like anything else but the web browser and a desktop computer, they're likely to get some sort of fucked up weird experience on it. They're going to get the weird Google AMP version of it or the weird Facebook Pages version of it. And that's something that's not really in any of our particular control, because that's just sort of the way that like the underpinnings of punk news work. But it sucks. And I don't know what to do about that, because I don't have anything to do about it. But it weighs upon me that our audience is increasingly mobile or increasingly coming at us from social. And that's probably the way to see punk news in its most busted. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do about that in the long term. But it's that's kind of a bummer. I think that the contributors have really made me take heart, I guess, recently. I've always had a little bit of that like nagging thing in my head from being around so long, where like, ooh, if I'm not around helping like row the boat, then who knows what's going to happen to punk news. But like, I've been fucking useless all year long. Like, I've done zero to nothing. And everything just keeps plugging away. News is going up. Reviews are coming in. People are contributing stuff. Things are happening. And, you know, I could go get hit by a bus and everything would just keep on rolling. And that's good to know. I like that.
It's the punk news deep state.
Yeah.
Also known as John Gentile.
Speaking of the deep state, let's play some deep state style music. Hallie Bull, let's have you kick off some tunes, and then Tom will have you play some tunes.
Awesome. Well, I think my approach was different, I think, from the rest of you guys, because I thought like end of the year show, I just thought I should just be playing like my favorite songs from the year. So
I'm going to do that too. So don't worry.
Okay, Hallie, awesome. Okay.
Isn't that what we did? That's what we did.
Oh, is it?
I think that's what Sam did too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did that.
Oh, okay. Mine seem more more obvious choices, I think. So I admire that you guys dug deep. I would like to play Sheer Mag doing Blood from a Stone, which I think is just a fantastic song. And I want to play Mannequin Pussy doing In Love Again, which is maybe not the most punk song off that album, but it's just my favorite track, and I love that whole record. And then I thought this was fun. I want to play a pup song, but I'm going to pick Closure off that new album, because, you know, isn't closure what we're all seeking at the end of a year and the end of a decade?
Tom, what are you playing?
So I'm going to – these are all my top – five or top 10 for the year, but also I want to choose to shine some light on maybe a little bit more obscure ones. So the first song is from a band called Hip Shock Killer, which is a trio out of Kansas City, and it's fronted by Mike Alexander, who used to play guitar for third wave ska heroes, the Gadgets. But Hip Shock Killer is more like a super melodic punk thing. Songs are really nuanced and really, really well written, well sung, well played, just all around good, almost like probably too talented to be punk, but really great band. Hip Shock Killer. The first song we'll do is called Still Ill. The next one's going to be by a guy from Michigan that I've actually known for a while. And he used to front, or he still does, I think, front kind of a Celt punk band called the Toss Pints, but he put out his first solo album this year, and it's really, really potent stuff. Really like reach into your stomach and just rip your guts out kind of stuff. I'm actually going to do one of the shorter songs from that record. The album is called Chemicals, and it's a dark cycle of songs. I don't know that it's a concept album, but the songs are all definitely kind of tied together. About kind of substance abuse and mental health issues and things. But so let's do a short one called Another Shot. And then last but not least, this band was actually this is my number one album from the year. The band is called This Means War, and they're a Dutch, half Belgian band. for lack of a better explanation or for a simple explanation, I think they sound somewhere between, like a cross between 7 Seconds and Coxbar, if you could picture that. But their album this year was called Heartstrings, and I really like the album. And for the song, we were going to play Off With Their Heads. So this is going to be Hip Shot Killer, Still Ill, Donny Zazula, Another Shot, and This Means War, Off With Their Heads.
Bye. need closure.
Another shot could kill the pain. And if we die before our break, so that I'm a
And we are back. One of the interesting things that I know Tom and I discussed before, and I actually saw a lot of the commenters make this point, is there was a lot of good records this year and a lot of great records, but maybe not as many amazing records. Like for me, for my top 20 list of the year, I usually have two or three or four just dogfighting till the end to be who's going to be my number one. This year, my 1 through 10 was relatively fluid. I mean, some was kind of heavier at the bottom. So others were heavy at the top, but like for me, there wasn't any one or two or three records that were like, oh my God, this just blown everybody else away.
It was kind of like that last year too, though, wasn't it, Johnny?
No, for me, Screaming Females blew everybody away last year. You know, that's, and that
didn't even make my list.
That record did not get enough, the Screaming Females record. Like people liked it, but that record was mind blowing. I mean, that record should have like set the, I mean, it did well, I think, and people dug it, but it was just so daring. I don't know why I'm talking about great records from 2018. We're talking about 2019. Anyways, 2019.
I always feel, Johnny, I always feel like you and I have the most musical kinship, maybe, of anybody who's left from our era. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think we have any common top 20. So maybe it's more an aesthetic than a specific.
Maybe it's more a philosophical look at punk
rock and the sonic look.
But anyways, I mean, do you guys agree with that concept? I think I do. Or is that purely a subjective view? And like, there's no way one year can be better or worse than for music. I mean, is that a fallacious argument or a fallacious concept?
I think one year is definitely better than another, but I think across the average, it's pretty steady.
Sorry, I mean, there's just so much music out there. Yeah. It feels like to me, like if you feel like there weren't enough great albums, like maybe you just needed to listen to more music. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like there's just so much music coming out all the time, you know, maybe, yeah. Maybe you didn't like the things that were popular, but yeah, totally.
It's really challenging. And that's why, and I think, you know, we look at our lists and they're also different, but I didn't get a chance to listen to X album that I may have loved because I've been so busy reviewing, honestly. And that's part of the reason I'm going to kind of step back from that a little bit next year. But, you know, I spend so much time listening to specific albums that I'm reviewing, and those tend to be the ones that end up making the list because those are the ones I spend time with. Meanwhile, I didn't have time to maybe listen to another one that maybe I would have liked more. So you only can judge what you listen to, essentially. You know?
Oh, yeah. Could I record that whole thing and play it back to people? Because that is exactly the...
That's in defense of your Canadianness, Adam, or your Canadian.
That's in defense of my Canadianness, but it is also why I don't feel like I need to defend my Canadianness.
No, I've always told you that you don't need to defend that. We live in underrepresented scenes. You don't need to have any apologies at all for championing those bands. If you got a Canadian band that nobody's ever heard of, and the album is equivalent to the new Lagwagon album, why wouldn't you promote, you know, the new Lagwagon album doesn't need your help. Why wouldn't you promote the more obscure of the two? I am 100% behind you, Adam.
Well, but I am not 100% behind that. And here's why.
Because
I love to argue, but also it's like I follow this trap myself. It's like people like champion the local band. And I've gone back for a while. I'm like, who cares about local bands or whatever? The good bands are the best. It doesn't matter where they're from. Then I'm like, oh, man, Philadelphia's got so many great bands. I love it. Now I'm kind of back on the fence and that it's like, there's some great white bands in Philadelphia. And I even like a couple of them. Like, oh, such and such is so great. But you know what? Like if we took 100 of the best bands in the world or the United States or North America, Philadelphia's best oi band isn't even close. So why am I wasting my time on that just because they're local or just because I'm friendly with them? You know what I mean? So
this is where I run into them at the club. Right.
So I have a slightly radical view on what you just said, but just to clarify what I was latching on with what Tom was going on there, what I was just latching on to was just available time. Like I think that it is a complete fallacy that some of these music writers, especially, and I include in this the music writers that are writing for professional publications, there is no fucking way that everyone is listening to everything with the amount of attention that it would take to go and to like judge which of that, which of the sea of like Western music that has emerged in a year is the best objectively. Like there's no way
personal top 100 lists are a joke.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
You look at so many of them.
You can't even do it for the decade, let alone the year.
Yeah, so just like anyone that claims to have that amount of time in their life where they can like objectively sort through all that stuff and decide what's good and what's not, and the fact that like it's art, it's music, like you should be spending some time with it. So if you're just like breezing through, you know, listening to one take of everything in the universe that you can make a list at the end of the year, then you're not engaging with music in a way that is meaningful. So just like from that standpoint, like, yeah, like you can only listen to what you can listen to, and then you can only come up with some sort of like list or some sort of judgment based on that. You can't reflect the culture. It's just impossible. So I'm all for the weird little myopic lists and stuff like that. But John, my kind of radical read on what you just gave me there was, and this is perhaps, I don't know, this to me feels like a controversial opinion here, is I really feel that like a lot of rock and roll is good enough. So there was a hardcore band that I really got into this year called Wildside. They're from Niagara Falls. They're number 20 on my list, right? They sound
I saw them on somebody else's list too.
They sound like they're one of these hardcore bands that sounds like
they sound like Poison, Adam.
They sound like Murphy's Law or Warzone or one of those kind of bands, right? Now, I'm not a hardcore scholar, right? Like that's not my area of punk where I know a whole lot about, right? Even me mentioning Murphy's Law and Warzone right now, to me sounds like a fake out.
Like you don't want any follow up questions about
it. Like no follow up questions to those, right? Like I know those are the touch points and I don't know anything further than that, so don't fucking ask me about it, right? But
you think Warzone and Murphy's Law are like the cornerstones of hardcore?
No, I think that those are the bands that people talk about who know about hardcore when trying to reference what Wildside sounds like, right? But I am convinced that there are 900 bands that have that same sound and they all do it reasonably well. Like I'm one of those people that like most hardcore to me sounds interchangeable, right? But
like my mom.
But
you're just like my mom, Adam.
But it's fun. Like I really like it. Like I listen to that record. It's great. It's a lot of fun. Now, why do I listen to it? Because they're from my fucking city, right? They're from here. So that was the hook. I'm like, I'm not gonna go out and find some hardcore band to listen to. But if someone comes to me and says, "Holy shit, here's some old school sounding hardcore band from Niagara Falls," I'm gonna be like, "Okay, yeah, I will go listen to that because of the novelty of them being from Niagara Falls."
Yeah, but you can listen to Cro-Mags because they're way better.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? But to me, it's interchangeable. I get the same rock and roll rush out of listening to Wildside doing that, or listen to any of the 500 Cro-Mags bands doing that, or any of the 7 billion other bands that are out there in every local scene.
Do you get the same joy from Pabst Blue Ribbon as you do from like the best like microbrew there is in Canada?
If I'm going to go sit down after work and I just want to have a beer and chat with someone, it doesn't really matter to me because this happened today, John. At the end of the day today, after work, me and my two business partners went to the bar. We sat down. My one partner ordered a pitcher. He ordered a pitcher of MGD. I would not order that if you paid me for it. But you know what? I just wanted to sit down and have a beer, and the fact that it wasn't some microbrew didn't really matter. And to me, a lot of rock and roll is that way. If I want to listen to a band that sounds like a cool, like psyched out, you know, proto-punk band, there's a handful of them from Hamilton, and I'll go happily listen to one of them, and I can go see them live, and they're great. And is there a better band in Albuquerque that sounds like that? Maybe, but I don't have time for that.
Not in Albuquerque.
Right?
Seems very cynical to me, Adam. It's not very cynical.
It's just, it's just looking at it and saying, I don't need the quote-unquote best version of something in the universe. I just need something that's going to give me that rush. And I feel like
so you're not a connoisseur.
No, because that to me, that's the fucking, that is the Ramones lesson. You don't need to be a connoisseur for this. You need to be able to get there and pick up a guitar and be passionate about it. And,
but the irony, Adam, is that the Ramones were way better than everybody else. That's the irony, though. Not everyone can do what the Ramones can do.
You say that, but then you listen to the Ramones and you try to champion stuff like that.
But here's the thing, John. I am not a ska guy, right? I think third wave ska pretty much sucks. I really don't care about it at all. But once in a while, if you get a hankering for it, I'll listen to like the local guys who are Mustard Plug. Now, do I think they're the greatest ska band ever? No, but I'm not that into ska. So if I'm feeling like listening to ska, I don't necessarily need to listen to whatever the best ska band is. I don't think there is one, by the way.
If I listen to ska, I'm searching out for the best stuff. I only went to
but it's just. But I understand Adam's point. If you're not a connoisseur, he's not a connoisseur of hardcore. So it's sort of more interchangeable. I get that. I don't think that's a horrible insult. The thing is, John, you're more like a master of multiple styles of music. I'm 10 years older than you. I just don't care about a lot of kinds of music. I focus on what I like, and that it's not an insult to everything else. It's just that I only can listen to so many more records before I die. Not to be negative after spotting all my positivity, but I can only listen to so many more records before I die, and I'm not going to listen to some freaking third wave ska crap. You know what I mean?
My fear here is that if you took that. Someone is doing whippets right now. This is
really weird. Adam, did you just open your beer? Are you spilling it all over yourself like a girl at a car wash?
I wish I was. No. So my radical theory on this is that if you took all of humanity and just shuffled it, and you took any 30 million group of people, that 30 million group of people would produce enough rock and roll to satisfy you in a lifetime.
Well, I mean, like, anybody can make a pair of pants, you know what I mean? But, you know, not everyone can make a pair of pants like Levi's, you know what I mean?
So, John, I'm wearing a pair of jeans that I'm pretty sure I got at Old Navy, and it does not bother me that they're not a Levi's.
He's got his maximum dad pants on.
I think Hallie and or Sam was going to say something. Well, what if you two going to say something while the three of us were rolling around in the grass? We've done that.
I can't. I enjoy you guys rolling around in the grass so much only because your banter is hilarious. But I really think it's all about taste. We all have different taste. We all think differently. We all have different ears for things. So, you know, a top 10 for me or 20 for me will definitely not be the same as you, John or Adam, you know. So, like crazy lists, like long ass lists for the entire decade is hard to do. Thank God, you know, when we did ours for the aughts, there was a math algorithm because we're geeky like that. But like, you know, because just me saying this, you know, the Bouncing Souls is the best band on the damn universe, that's not the same sentiment for most of you guys.
I have made the intentional decision not to participate in another mega list like that. As much as it was fun, the amount of work that it takes in the individual to compile a list of the 100 best records of a decade, and then to see them all get dumped aside because some young fools preferred De La Soul, no thank you.
Sam, that was way too diplomatic, man. Go for blood.
Well, listen.
I don't draw blood. I just don't.
It's 2020. A lot of bands that I'm interested in have already announced some cool records coming up. So let's hit two last topics. Second to last topic. Hallie Bullet, what are you – show-wise, album-wise, experience-wise, what are you looking forward to in the new year? And what do you hope happens, you know?
What am I looking forward to? Well, I'm looking forward – like I said, I'm looking forward to just, like, actually, like, going to some more shows. So, I think maybe I'm just going to, you know, baby steps. I would like to make it to see Bob Mould because I feel like that's a person that if I don't ever see him play, I'm going to be sad, and I never have. So, I don't know. That's at the end of January. And if I'm feeling super ambitious – like there's a couple shows in the city. One of them's not sold out yet. I keep keeping my eye on it. But he's also playing. This is not going to mean anything to you people. I'm going to say quickly. He's also playing the Tarrytown Music Hall, which is like a really old venue. It's kind of amazing that it's even still like open or thriving. And so, if I'm feeling super ambitious, I might try to just like head out, like it's like a half hour outside of New York City, and maybe I'll go see him there. But it's realistically, it's more likely that I'll actually make it to the New York City show. So maybe I should just go ahead and get my tickets before that late show sells out too. So I've got my sights on that. And then, yeah, my goal is just to make it to more shows, and not just like rock shows, but like make it to more theater and like just try to, try to be like a person that's like taking in like live culture, because I take in a lot of culture inside my house right now. And luckily there's a lot of good stuff that I can access from inside my house. But the 2020, get out, see more live shit. That's my goal.
2020, the year of more culture. I'm going to try to get cultured myself. I'm going to try to hit up Netherlands again this year and maybe kick it on over to Belgium or maybe Germany. I'm looking forward to the big record convention. Album-wise, I'm really hoping Off puts out the new record. I really hope that like Circle Jerks is just a diversion and not like a you know, throw off the tracks. I mean, I really want Off number 4. Melvins, they've got a lot of things brewing, so I'm excited for that. I'm trying to think what else might be coming out. Drew Getz has been working on new stuff. Crazy and the Brains have a new album coming out, they're saying. I know Screaming Females have some cool side projects. I'm looking forward to that. And the biggest thing that I'm going to have to juggle in 2020 is I've got two, what I'll say, bigger projects in the works. But I also kind of want to throw some shows. I want to do interviews. I want to do reviews. And there's a famous Warren Buffett quote. Not that I'm comparing myself to Warren Buffett, because I'm not nearly as rich as he is. But it's not what you choose. What's important is not what you choose to do. It's what you choose not to do. And I think my biggest thorn in my side, if you will, maybe 2017, 2018, is so many cool things came up, and I just did them all. And I think maybe did that get in the way of some longer term goals I have music wise, I was actually not done throwing shows, but I was going to pull back. And then I threw the Sonic Attack, which was a wild success, both artistically and turnout-wise. And it was so much fun that I've already got some crazy ideas for some shows. So I want to do some shows, but they take a lot of time and they kind of get in the way of some other things. So I'm definitely going to do some shows in 2020. But the question is, I guess, how many and to what extent? I mean, I'm definitely going to try to do Summer Soiree 4. I've got some other crazy ideas. But for me, and I think a lot of people have this issue, is you only have so much time, so you want to use the time most effectively. But that's not always easy, because you know the things that have the quickest payback, you know, the quickest reward, are the easiest things to do. Like, you know, you do a news post, bam, it's posted. You get that slight ping of reward. A review, a little bit longer, bang, you post a little bit bigger, reward. Interview, longer to do, but bang, you get an even bigger reward. Throwing a show, longer, but then bang, you're like, wow, I got to do this. But even throwing a show, what permanence does that have? Not a whole lot. I mean, it does have some really fond and fun memories and a sense of achievement, which is fun. But I feel like at this point, I want to do something that's kind of even more permanent than that, and nothing's really permanent, but I guess kind of bigger or of a higher mountain. So I want to do more shows, which is what I'm really into right now, but I wonder if that's getting in the way of some other things. So we'll see. I don't know. And that's probably a bad thing to say, saying that I don't really have a firm plan, which I don't. So we'll see. Tom, what are you looking forward to in 2020?
Well, I got to say, in 2019, I feel like the old man touring punk bands that I tend to like and I were not schedule-wise synced up. So I think 2020 is already looking better for me as far as the type of bands I want to see. I mean, don't get me wrong, I went to a good amount of shows last year, probably 35 or 40. Not bad for a guy, you know, an old fart.
Not bad, Tom, not bad.
But they weren't of the caliber of some of them some years that I've had recently. I feel like I'm kind of in my second childhood right now, and I really appreciate every time I'm able to see one of these older bands, especially if they're more or less intact. So I feel actually I am real optimistic about 2020. As far as punk news, I've already said publicly in my year-end wrap-up that I plan to pull back from reviews, and that's something I've been thinking about for a while now. And there's a couple of aspects to it, one of them being what I mentioned earlier, where I spend so much time listening to new music that I don't really get to listen to my what I would call my comfort music anymore. I haven't been able to listen to my favorite stuff because I'm always too busy listening to new stuff. Plus, I don't really stream, so it's just become increasingly inconvenient. And of course the last year I've been podcasting almost every week with you guys. It's the irony of the situation is I've been podcasting with a couple of guys who are 10 years younger than me, who are always complaining about how old they are. So I decided to double down, and I'm actually doing a spinoff podcast with a guy who's 10 years older than me, which I hope a lot of you have heard and checked out. It's not meant to be a competition to the Punk News podcast, but rather let's call it supplemental, like supplemental insurance you get when you're super old. So anyway, that's called Punk Till I Die. I hope a lot of you have checked it out. I'm gonna be plugging it relentlessly because it's a lot of fun. It's a new project, of course.
So I'm gonna be doing that. Insurance of the Punk News podcast.
What's that?
It's the flood insurance of the punk.
Well, it's really more, I'd say it's more like we're old enough to start collecting Social Security or something.
So it's a Medigap policy.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a little different in that we're not worrying so much about current news, you know? I mean, we spent a half hour talking about the fairy tale of New York the other day. You know, I mean, it's just a different feel, and it's just like eavesdropping over to, you know, two old guys who are drinking and talking about punk rock stuff. Anyway, I hope you'll enjoy it. We're going to start having some guests on in the new year. So I'm excited about that. Like I said, I don't plan to do the quantity reviews that I have been. I'm sure I'll still occasionally get the pitch that I just can't say no to and I'll probably still do some live reviews. Cause I really enjoy that more than doing a record. I think just because I can kind of sit down and do it and it's like a finite amount of time as opposed to a record. To review a record properly, you really need to listen to it a lot, and I just haven't had the, you know, if you listen to a record three times and write a review of it, it's not a fair review. That's just all there is to it, and I haven't had the time. So the Punk Till I Die podcast has been a lot of fun, and I would like to. I'm hoping in the new year maybe I can contribute more in interviews too. It's something I've come to enjoy over the last couple of years. So hopefully I'll help you out a little bit on that, John. That's kind of my goal. But I also, like everybody, at the beginning of the year, I'm trying to shuffle my schedule around, try to make it work with my family schedule and everything else. And, like I joked with Hallie earlier, she's going to spend the next 20 years trying to find a proper balance. And I literally have been a parent for 20 years and I have, probably another 8 or 10 that I'm going to be at it. And it's just, it's a never ending, but we do the best we can. So anyway, I've been 5.5 years now, pretty much consistently contributing to Punk News, and I still enjoy it. I see no reason to stop. I hope it's something I can do indefinitely.
Adam White, speaking of balance, what are you planning on balancing in 2020?
I feel that I have the general refrain of the other parents on the show tonight, which is that I gotta figure out a way to see more shows. But I think that for me, that means I need to do more festivals, because that seems to be what works as far as something that I can like properly execute without having an excuse or without having like real life get in the way. It seems a lot easier in a way for me to find some regional festival a couple hours out of town, find a cheap room, go there for a couple days and watch bands and then come home than it does for me to even, drive an hour out of town to go see some band, because driving an hour out of town to see some band, and Tom and I have talked about this a lot on the show, is never just that. It's usually like, well, you do that, but you do that kind of in the middle of the night, and then you're tired, and then what the fuck do you do? And like the realities of...
You drag your ass through life, Adam. Yeah. That's what you do.
Well, that or you drag your ass into a ditch, which is not what I would prefer to do either. So just like I have every ambition of going to all these shows every year. And then if I looked at the graveyard of shows that I did not attend that I wanted to attend, it's pretty pathetic. But if I was to list all the bands that I've seen in a year, like the majority of them are ones that I've seen at one of these festivals that I've gone to. And increasingly those are festivals that I've tried to figure out how to involve my kids and family in. So,
that's funny. It's funny, Adam, because the older I get, the less desire I have to go to festivals. So might change in the next decade or so for you.
Sammy B, what are you looking forward to in 2020? You love going on trips. What trips are we hitting up in 2020?
Oh Lord, you're really asking that. So this year I'm going to China. I'm doing that. possibly a jaunt out to the West Coast in the summer. I don't know. I'm just going to be all over the damn place, I think. So this year I actually clocked in maybe 55 shows this year, which I know is like crazy. When I was young. Oh, when I was 20, I used to go to more. This is like us dialing it down. You know, I'm fortunate to live in the New York City area, so we get all of the stuff that comes around. So as of right now on my docket, I'm super, super, super stoked to see Strike Anywhere play Change of Sound and Exit English. We're going to that because my husband and I love Strike Anywhere. We love them so much. I have tickets to go see Gorilla Biscuit and Kill Your Idols in Long Island somewhere, which I know, crazy, right? I do have plans on possibly popping up in Montreal again to do Pooza. They have been pretty much announcing a whole bunch of skate punk bands that, you know, melodic skate punk bands that probably won't come to the States that, you know, I love, and we usually do our annual trip up there for Poutine anyway. So, you know, things like that. So I'll be around, I think, maybe. Yeah.
Well, fair enough. I'm going to play some tunes, and then we'll come back and wrap this bad boy on up. I'm going to play two relatively new bands and then one classic band. First new band, Qualm, one of my favorite new bands, my number two on my list of 2019. Qualm put out a self-titled record this year. It was the first album, and it was absolutely fantastic. So I'm going to play a song by Qualm. Then I'm going to play a song by Catboy. Actually, both Qualm and Catboy play punk news shows this year. Catboy is a Philadelphia band. It's kind of like punk, two-tone ska, just kind of in that general vein, and they are just fantastic with a great singer. And I'm going to wrap it up with an all-time titan, Cro-Mags, and that's Cro-Mags with Harley Flanagan now back at the helm. Tom Trauma, why is that significant that this is a Cro-Mags record with Harley Flanagan singing and playing bass? Why is that significant?
Well, the John Joseph fronted Cro-Mags hadn't put out any new music for 20 years. And now that Harley got the name back, it's like night and day. I mean, we got two EPs already. And we've got six new songs in the last year after not getting any for 20.
So
it's become obvious that, I mean, I was always a big Best Wishes fan. I mean, you know, Age of Quarrel is obviously the undisputed classic, but I always thought Best Wishes was kind of Cro-Mags, you know, 1B. And I think now we know where the throne for the Cro-Mags belongs, or where the crown for the Cro-Mags belongs.
Well, it really was astounding at how
John good, Joseph, please don't come to my house and beat me up.
It really was astounding how good the new Cro-Mags EPs are. I mean, I guess not that, because the last Harley stuff has been really, really good, especially his last album. But the Cro-Mags EPs are great, and it's Harley capitalizing and manifesting everything he said he would do for the past 20 years. Harley's like, I can do it, I can do it. And everyone's like, sure, sure, sure. And he comes along and he does it. And the new Cro-Mags material is fantastic. So I'm going to play Qualm, Catboy, and then some new Cro-Mags, and we'll be right back.
One, two, three. Yeah. tried to make myself feel something, but I can't shake my mind. And I don't want to hurt you any more than I already have, 'cause love is a virtue and I can't give you that. How did I end up here? All my feelings dissolved straight into thin air. All the magic is gone. Is it bad that I don't think of you when I'm out with my friends? I keep my thoughts to myself lately and let them fill up my head. Wish that I could change and be the girl that you want, but it's not written in the stars for us, and I can't give you love.
And we are back, and that wraps up our end-of-year podcast for 2019, beginning of 2020. Tom Trauma, any closing words for the listeners? Anything you want the listeners to know or do in 2020?
2020 is going to be a great year, guys. So let's, you know, and if we're positive about it, we've already won half the battle. So anyway, be good, be young, have fun, listen to some punk rock.
Howie Bullet, any closing words for the listeners in 2020? Any advice that you can give or let the people know about? Impart, that's what I was looking for. Impart. Any wisdom you can impart?
No, I have no wisdom, none at all. my only observation about this year, I feel like it was a great year for women in music. That was kind of exciting to see, like both in punk and then just, you know, like pop music. I'm about to go on a tangent. I'm gonna go on a very short tangent. I want to remember to talk to you guys on a upcoming podcast about they passed this law in Argentina that every music festival has to have a certain amount of like women performers. Did you guys hear this?
I did not.
I think it's really interesting because I have like such mixed feelings about like a law that makes people do like anything like art, you know, especially like if it's a festival artistic, but I also thought it was amazing. So I don't know. Those are all very disparate thoughts, but yeah, go women, go music.
well put. Let's see here. Sam Barrett, how about you? Any wisdom for 2020 for the listeners?
Take care of each other, especially in pits. and take care of your community. And the internet is a weird place.
well said. Adam White, let's shut out this bad boy on down for the year. How you want to close out this year for the Punk News listeners?
Do you got a juice harp? Does anyone have a juice harp? We do some of the juice harp.
How's that?
That was poor, but that fits the vibe.
How did you get your juice harp out so quickly to play that for
I just always
and you just like, keep it in your pocket all the time.
I you know, whenever I'm like, you know, at the supermarket waiting in line, I just pull it out, you know, bow 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 bow.
Oh, you're and that guy.
my friend got sorry, go John.
Oh, and we'll see you next week.